this morning is taken from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. And we're going to begin at verse 10 and read through the end. This is God's word. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when she sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Beloved in the Lord, you remember the fairy tale story, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? We should. Remember, in it there was the old wicked queen. She was really the wicked witch. And she had the magic mirror which would talk to her. And every day she would go to the mirror. And as you remember the story, she would ask the mirror who was the fairest or the most beautiful in all of the land. And it was the same old story every day. Not you, old witch. Well, that wasn't exactly how it went. But no, it wasn't the queen. It was, of course, Snow White. Now, we know there is no such thing as a magic mirror. But the Bible has been often called by people like John Calvin and others a mirror in which we may see ourselves. And it is truly that kind of a mirror, because as we look into the Word and see ourselves, it reveals our character and our lives. And we have this mirror in God's Word. Proverbs 31, our text this morning, is what the great commentator Matthew Henry called a looking glass, or if you will, a mirror, a looking glass for ladies into which they should look, he writes, and by which they should dress themselves. I think Matthew Henry was right. He captures the essence of this passage in that short phrase and calls it this looking glass, a looking glass for ladies in which they can see what God the Creator has given them and has placed within Scripture, so that they could use Scripture as a guide for life. And this is not just for the ladies. Yes, it is Mother's Day. We wish all of the mothers a happy Mother's Day. But on this Mother's Day, we look at this passage which speaks about godly women, and we look at it with a view to what it will teach all of us. The Word of God, which describes the inner characters and the qualities of this woman of God, are recorded for us all, not just for the women. As husbands, we ought to see how Scripture describes the noble and the virtuous woman in this passage, and how that should enable us to appreciate our wives and love them even more. As children, and all of us are children, no matter how old we are and have become, we need to see and appreciate our mothers, and we can reflect upon them even if they are not with us, and those that we see around us, and see that God honors the woman of noble character. That's what this passage is all about. And so first of all, as we look through this passage, notice that the writer, King Lemuel, who is its author, says that the woman of noble character is revealed by the word of God here. The one who is a valiant wife, it could be translated that way, or a woman of strength and excellence, a woman of integrity. The woman that's described in Proverbs 31 is much like Boaz's wife, Ruth. We read about Ruth. Ruth was called a noble character by Boaz. He recognized in her that there was a noble character. And Scripture records in Proverbs 18, verse 22, that a woman of noble character is a blessing from God. He who finds a wife, the writer of Proverbs says, finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. The noble character of this godly woman is reflected in the full confidence and the trust that her husband places in her. As you read through this passage, you seem to get the idea that the woman and her husband are like two gears and they mesh together. Now, you know that gears can do two things. They can mesh or they can grind. When they work together properly, they mesh. And when working gears mesh together, they can accomplish a great deal. The work gets done. And when the gears mesh, they don't grind on each other. And the work gets done. And that's why the writer of Proverbs speaks here of the woman of noble character who is a rare treasure, a glory to her husband. Chapter 12 of Proverbs in verse 4, it says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The noble wife is one in whom the husband trusts. He recognizes that his well-being rests on her reliability, and she's a crown to him of splendor and of beauty. But as is often the case, there is this contrast, and in the contrast of Proverbs 12, verse 4, it says that the disgraceful wife is like a decay in the bones, and you get the picture there in a very real way of the negative of that virtue, which is portrayed as the inner rotting of the bones when shameful conduct on the part of the wife brings shame and disgrace upon the husband. Little wonder that the writer of Proverbs describes the wife of noble character as one in whom her husband can trust implicitly. Look at verse 11 in our text. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. The heart of the husband trusts in her. I remember many times through my ministry sitting down with young couples who come for premarital counseling. That was a requirement in order for me to marry them. They would come, and when we would discuss various things, we would come to the topic of finances. Oh, that was always an interesting topic. And there were a couple of times when I came across some what I thought were particularly interesting situations. And one in particular that I remember was a situation in which there was a very distinct difference between the wife's money and the husband's money. And I tried to get through to them. I used my own example of my wife and I, of my implicit trust in her and how she could do with our finances whatever it was that she wanted to do because I trusted her. Somehow that message didn't get through to that young couple. I don't know what became of them, but I can only tell you this, that if you start with that premise that What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours, and you go into a marriage like that, you're only going to grind the gears. They will not mesh. You will not work together. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. Whatever she did, the husband knew that it would be done well because she was the wife of noble integrity, character. King Lemuel says that she is the wife of a noble character, but she also is, secondly, a godly woman who is very capable. In many ways, we see her capability described in this passage. Notice how she is said to be a very industrious person. Her capability is evidenced in her industriousness. She goes to work with all of her might. She has a will to work. She finds satisfaction in her work. She has creative hands. They are eager to work. Verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. You have a picture here of her textile abilities. She is someone who can weave things, and she does so, and as she does her work, she provides an economic base for her family. We are reminded again of the widow Ruth, which we looked at as we read through Ruth chapter 2, where in verses 17 and 18 in Ruth 2, it records how Ruth gleaned and how she threshed and how she prepared and provided meals, not just for herself, but also for her mother-in-law. And she was not ashamed of honest, hard work. She was an industrious woman. And King Lemuel in this passage speaks of the industriousness and the capability of this woman that he describes in verse 21. Her family is well cared for by her industrious work. They have warm clothing. In verse 25, she has no fear of the future because of her industriousness, which she has used to provide for her family and for her future. Ample provisions have been made. Things have been laid aside so that her family will be provided for. In verse 27, it says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is not idle, but she carefully works, and she works for the sake of the welfare of her family. All of these references to her industriousness indicate that there is adequate provision for the needs of her family, and indications that she's also prosperous because she works diligently. And the intelligence of this woman should never be overlooked. This woman is not merely a slave, an industrious one at that. No, the Bible does not portray her as a servant or slave. The Bible portrays this godly woman of Proverbs 31 as a capable and an intelligent as well as a godly woman. Notice verse 14. She considers a field and she buys it. She's sharp in real estate. Verse 15, she's also an intelligent investor. Verse 15 says, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her family and portions for her maidens. And verse 15b, the last part of that verse says, she is an intelligent steward. She manages all of these things. It requires a tremendous amount of physical energy and capability to carry out all of these things. And this is the picture of a godly woman, a virtuous woman that King Lemuel describes, but he does not leave out the spiritual dimension of this capable woman. She's capable not only in her industriousness, capable in her ability to carry out all of these things to provide for her household, but she is a capable, spiritual, godly woman. Verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. Her prosperity does not make her lazy. She is satisfied satisfied with herself, satisfied with her capabilities. The picture you get of this woman is that she is content with what she has and with what she is able to do. And contentment with godliness, Paul says to Timothy, is great gain. And what kind of a woman is this who would also open her hand to the poor? A godly woman, verse 20, who reaches out her hands to the needy. Her gesture of giving demonstrates a heart full of generosity, not selfishness. Her motivation for that can only be love for those who have needs. And she, in her prosperity and in her godliness, gives to those in need. The third thing that this mirror or looking glass of Scripture reflects in the beauty of this woman, as she is portrayed by King Lemuel, is her spirituality. Verse 30 underscores that directly. It says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's interesting that at the end of Proverbs, you would have the very same phrase that you have at the beginning of Proverbs. Do you remember what the very beginning of Proverbs is after the first few verses? The theme of Proverbs is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what Proverbs is all about. And it bookends it now at the end with the woman who is a woman who fears the Lord. Proverbs is structured in that fashion. And here at the end of Proverbs, King Lemuel describes this woman who is a godly woman, a woman of noble character, but he does not leave out that most important dimension. She is a woman who fears the Lord. And that godliness is evidenced in her life, in which it says that she walks in the fear of the Lord. She lives for the glory of God. Lemuel also speaks of her piety in verse 26. If you back up just a few verses, what is she doing within her own household? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. It refers to instruction. Instruction in saving grace. Instruction in the grace of the covenant of God and among the redeemed people. And she speaks with wisdom. Her home is a state in which grace reigns, and that is particularly important in a home where there are younger children, where those children are to be raised in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. But that's not only for the moms, that's also for the dads, for the wisdom of the Lord that we are to raise our children in, as one in which we are to demonstrate to them in our lives and to lead them by the Word of God, to follow by the teaching that we give them. In other words, Proverbs is an instruction in godly living. And so we are called by this example of a godly woman to live in a godly way, to teach and to lead our children in the way of the Lord. No wonder the writer of Proverbs says, listen. In many places he says, listen. Listen to this word of God. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. Then note verse 23. These commands are in the life of this woman a lamp. Now what's the purpose of a lamp? To give light. To show the way. The teaching that she gives is like a light for life, and that teaching is given and demonstrated in the life of this spiritually godly woman. But lastly, and fourthly, this mirror of God's word reveals that this woman is not just simply a woman of noble character, a woman who is capable and godly, but a woman who is truly a woman of true beauty. She is a woman of great beauty, the kind of beauty that is from within. It is the beauty of which the Apostle Peter speaks in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, where he says that the beauty of that woman is the inner beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Outward beauty is fleeting, it is transitory, it is superficial, its charms may soon vanish, but that inner beauty of the godly life is a beauty of dignity and strength that endures. It is this beauty to which King Lemuel refers when he addresses the proverb to his readers and calls them to respect this beautiful woman that he describes in this passage, a woman who deserves the respect and the love of her children, a woman who deserves the respect and the love of a husband who will look at her and in his eyes see her as superior to all others. The godly reputation of this woman will not be sought by herself, but will nevertheless, as King Lemuel writes, be the praise that she receives in the city gates, because she will be recognized for her godly beauty and strength. Now let me close with some thoughts of application in very specific ways. Here are some seed thoughts for application of this passage that we may apply it to our hearts and lives. First of all, the scripture sanctifies the life of the home. There is no shame but great glory in a woman who makes her home a kingdom in which God is preeminently given glory and honor. And where women have been faithful in the home and demonstrated God's love and grace, blessings have abounded. It only takes a few moments to go back through the books of church history to see the effect that a godly mother has had upon the home. Many pastors have come from godly homes where godly mothers have raised children. It is, I think, Susanna Wesley who raised many of her sons to be ministers of the gospel. But whether they come to be ministers of the gospel or simply faithful and godly children who are raised and go on to serve God in other ways, the importance is that in the home, the mother is a very important person. And the scriptures sanctify this life in the home. But secondly, this passage is a directory, or if you will, a looking glass, as Matthew Henry called it, a mirror for wives and mothers to show them from God's point of view, from the point of view of the Word of God, what they should seek to do and how they should seek to live in order to please God above all. And then thirdly, it should teach godly young men what to look for in seeking a wife. It should also teach young women what they should aim at and how they should seek to live. And then as husbands, and probably a good reminder for us today on Mother's Day, it should help us to see the beauty of a woman of God in the mirror of Scripture so that we can appreciate our beautiful, godly wives as well as our mothers. And perhaps men, we ought to take more time to look into the mirror, as it were, the mirror of revealed Scripture, to learn to appreciate even more the godly women that have come into our lives, our mothers, our wives, our daughters. And then, one final note, let's not just make this a one-time effort for Mother's Day, but let Mother's Day be celebrated often throughout the year, a reminder that we are to appreciate those godly women every day, because they are women of God who fear the Lord, whose praise should be heard in the gates and from our lips as well. God has blessed us. We ought to give Him thanks for it. Let us pray together.